Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
David Smith works for the Guardian. He's going to give us an update on the president, how he will be received, how Americans are being received in England at this particular time while the president is visiting. I thought CBS News stated it rather well when the president at an impromptu press conference today is saying NATO's stronger than ever, and that because of their strong actions and strong words, so many more countries are now going to up the amount of money they are contributing, which has been required since this initiative to get it done by 2024. Some people suggesting could be up to $33 billion. Which sounds great, right? Barack Obama dealt with this. Other presidents have. They dealt with it more in the finesse, the nuance. The president doesn't play finesse and nuance. He plays sledgehammer and then feels like he has results. I hope he does have results. But then you get the French president says nothing, literally nothing changed, that we're still living up to the previous document. So that should be pretty easy to figure out what does change. So David Smith from The Guardian, we've had good success over the years with excellent reporters and guests from The Guardian. And then David Martinez is going to join us. I'll admit, until the last few days, I was not familiar with David Martinez. He is running for an open St. Paul City Council seat. He now, in a short period of time, has been ejected from a library and from a Twins game and faces the fact that he's banned from the ballpark for a year and banned from the library for a month. We reached out to him around 11. We taped the interview at 11:15. There's plenty of talking over each other. There's plenty of confrontation. There's plenty of words. And so we're going to play that at 1:35 and get your reaction. Also, Dara will join us at 2:35. Hammer, one quick note for you since you gave this to me.
Yes.
Charles Oakley, longtime NBA player, started with the Bulls, then the Knicks. He's had his incidents at the Garden where he was ejected. Clearly, James Dolan wanted no part of him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's at a casino. He's at the Cosmopolitan. Is the Cosmopolitan that? I've seen it.
I don't know much about it.
I don't know how successful. So he was he was arrested allegedly trying to cheat while gambling.
How so?
He was suspected of adding or reducing his wager on a game after the outcome was known. He allegedly tried to take back a $100 chip he had bet after realizing he was going to lose. I don't think you're allowed to do that.
I think that's frowned upon.
Laura, if you went to Vegas and you put your money out there, and then you realize you were going to lose, and then they allowed you to take the money back, it kind of would change the allure of gambling, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like Albert Brooks. What was the Albert Brooks movie where he's in? God, somebody remind me. And he's with the woman who was one of the leads in Airplane. And they're gonna travel the world. They get like an RV, and they go to Vegas, and they put all their money down, and they lose it all.
Mm.
I mean, it's all gone. And then he goes to the folks running the casino and says, listen, I got an idea for you. Give me my money back.
Right.
This will give you such good PR. Something about America?
Lost in America?
Lost in America. There
oh
we go.
Oh, my God.
Lost in America. So maybe Charles Oakley was doing that. The Cosmopolitan's not one of the biggest out there, but it's good size. You're not going to get by, Lauren Hammer, bringing money back
Mm-mm.
with the cameras everywhere. The young man is facing significant potential jail time. It was maybe a year to 6 years, and they point out that there were cameras and security everywhere. Yeah, a lot of people texting Lost America. It is a great movie. Where do you stand on Albert Brooks? You're not an Albert Brooks guy?
Not really my thing.
How about, I think I'm going to sneeze here. It's been a while since I sneezed on air. Can you hold off a sneeze?
It's kind of hard to do sometimes.
Yeah, what is the key?
Put your finger right here.
Press right above?
Yeah.
I think that worked, Hammer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So you're pressing above the lips, below the nose, stops a sneeze.
You want to touch right below the nose.
Wow. And how do you know that nugget, Hammer?
Dave Lee taught me that.
Dave Lee taught you that?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Wow. How about hiccups? Does Dave have a cure for the hiccups?
We haven't got that far yet.
Laura?
Hold the breath.
Hold the breath.
Mm-hmm.
You buy getting scared?
No, I don't buy that.
No.
But I get the hiccups almost every day when I'm hungry and need to eat and your stomach is empty.
Wait a second.
Then you take one bite of food and when it hits your empty stomach, it makes you hiccup.
No.
You
get the hiccups
almost every day? Yes. When I need to eat.
I've never heard of that before.
Oh, yes.
Now, I've heard some people like they have the hiccups perpetually and their life is just torturous. So whenever you get hungry, you get the hiccups.
If I'm too hungry and have an empty stomach, the first bite I eat of food, once it hits the stomach, makes me hiccup. Usually it's carrots.
Okay, this story's getting weirder and weirder by the way. She gets the hiccups every day, only when she's hungry, and then she's like a rabbit and needs carrots. So like if you eat something else, it may not work?
No, it always works. It doesn't matter what it is, but usually carrots are part of my lunch, and so that's what's making me hiccup first.
Do people I buy your story. Okay, I'm not calling you a liar, but does anybody else have a similar story that they get the hiccups when they're hungry?
Oh yeah.
So like in the newsroom, so if I said somebody in this area gets the hiccups, they would say you?
They probably Adam has heard me hiccup.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or seen me holding my breath.
Does he just grouchy about it too?
Yes.
Yeah.
He has his own lunch issues.
Oh, yes, he does. Yeah. He does. We all do. All right. I kind of hope you get the hiccups during this newscast.
No, I already had my lunch.
Oh,
I'm not
okay.
Hungry.
Oh, you're well fed.
Good to go.
Exactly. Send carrots to CCO.
Right.
Here she is, hiccup lady, Laura Oakes. The president's international trip continues in England today. Brussels the last day and a half, headed for Helsinki, the summit with Vladimir Putin. We've had a very good success having excellent journalists on from the Guardian. I encourage you to read The Guardian on a regular basis, theguardian.com. David Smith is about to join us. I want to read the last graph from The Guardian's editorial today about Donald Trump's appearance in England. Here it is, and I'll bring David Smith, a British journalist himself who's in London right now, to react to what his paper to say and just everything tied to the president's visit. Given the threat to liberal values and order that he so obviously represented from the very moment of his election in 2016, Mr. Trump should have only been invited to this country after a decent pause and period of careful circumspection. Shamefully, Theresa May rushed to Washington in early 2017 to press an invitation on him, which he had done nothing to merit, in which made Britain appear, to coin a phrase, a vassal state. She let this country down by doing so. 18 months on, the Trump visit is an embarrassment to be endured. Even Miss May probably knows that this was the case of an invite in haste, repent at leisure. The rest of us should recognize this immense seriousness of its dark turn in our history. We support all those who protest peacefully and with dignity against the presence of a president who is a bad and unreliable ally. Before leaving for Britain on Thursday, Mr. Trump told the press, "They like me a lot in the UK. Fake news again. We don't like him a lot. He is not welcome here." David Smith is with us. Now, I'll point out again, this is from the editorial from The Guardian. This is not from David. I appreciate your time, David. Why is Mr. Trump detested by so many of the folks in the UK?
Yes, you can see our op-ed writers were not holding back.
There. No, they were. That was not. That was not tippy-toeing into it whatsoever.
Certainly not. Let them have both barrels. Indeed, I remember when George W. Bush came to the UK, and there was quite a backlash then. He was greatly disliked for the Iraq War and other things. But I think, as in so many other areas, Trump is on a different scale And I think it's fair to say a majority of British people recoil in horror when they read the reports about things he said about the violence in Charlottesville or what's been happening at the border with children being separated from their parents. They read about the sexual harassment allegations against him. This is about both personal conduct, I think, and also policy. They see him launching a trade war and also potentially unraveling the NATO alliance after 70 years. He's seen as a dangerous figure. And one of the, actually another colleague of mine, Owen Jones, who's a columnist for The Guardian, and I've no idea whether he had a hand in that editorial you read, but I suspect he supports pretty much all of it. He was on TV today saying, you know, for many people, Donald Trump personifies bigotry, racism, misogyny, and hatred, and that is the core of what this protest is going to be about.
So if this was another Republican who had won the presidency in 2016 over Hillary Clinton and was enacting most of the same policies, not as far, but didn't have the words, didn't have the tweets, didn't have the vulgarity, what would be the volume of the protests by the liberals in the UK compared to what President Trump is going to see?
I guess it would be about half or three quarters, but probably about half. And as I say, there certainly were protests against George W. Bush, and one could certainly argue that even Donald Trump has never done anything like the Iraq War, which, if you're a critic of it, would be a major crime, even arguably beyond Trump's scale, at least so far. But, I mean, yeah, the question you pose is a good one. One of my colleagues was just saying the other day, when trying to cover this presidency, he always asks the question, what would President Marco Rubio have done, or what would President Jeb Bush have done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, for example, this Supreme Court nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, it's pretty easy to imagine any other Republican president choosing him. And indeed, some of the policies, that's true as well. However, the attacks on NATO and the European Union and the trade war are really very unlike Republican orthodoxy, and we see that in the criticism from John McCain and others. So I think these protests in Britain, like many of the protests in the United States itself and elsewhere, are a response to the awareness that Trump is outside the mainstream of the two political parties. He's you know, unlike Romney would have been, or John McCain would have been, or George W. Bush was, Trump is actually a threat to fundamental values and democracy and the Constitution itself.
David Smith, excellent journalist for The Guardian, joining us from London, the president in England right now. The president acknowledged that the UK was a hot spot right now, you know, for him, not realizing there's going to be protests. Can you put in perspective what these protests will be like for Mr. Trump, for the president, compared to other dignitaries who visited England over the last, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 years?
I suspect they'll be the biggest protests in that period. It's hard to think of a parallel. And once again, perhaps one does go back to the Iraq War, when there was an anti-war march, as I recall, in around 2003, which I think is still described as possibly the biggest march ever, with more than a million people. But for a particular political figure, as has been noted, British prime ministers and even the Queen do meet unsavory characters sometimes, and authoritarian figures, and that included Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe, which I note because I used to be based in Southern Africa. But clearly, none of those have the power and import of an American president. And in terms of what the protests look like, I mean, the star attraction is a giant blimp, a giant balloon that is made to look like Donald Trump wearing a diaper, which the mayor of London gave the go-ahead to fly.
And well, then I think can I jump in on that? The mayor of London and the president have been tweeting and commenting in a very negative way towards each other for a while. If this would have been a blimp in support of Donald Trump, would that blimp still be flying?
That's an excellent question, which I've not heard posed before, and I think it probably would. I'd like to think it would, and that supporters of the blimp, but indeed many people who ultimately support President Trump are still saying freedom of speech is an incredibly important principle in the UK and the US. And let's just compare it, say, to Donald Trump's first foreign trip to Saudi Arabia, where there were virtually no protests because of the type of regime there and the reaction to protests. So I like to think even in the next few hours, if somebody proposes a pro-Trump balloon, it will be allowed to fly. Although, as you say, Trump and Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, have clashed. And, of course, worth noting, Sadiq Khan is Muslim. That apart, I think we'll see, it depends who you talk to, is it going to be thousands or tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of people on the streets? I would hope and assume peacefully. Like with the Women's March in the US, I would expect some quite humorous placards and posters, some funny turns of phrase and images. But slightly taking the sting out of it, of course, is the fact that Donald Trump is spending very little time in London. He's staying overnight at the U.S. ambassador's residence, but almost like a thief in the night, he's kind of sneaking in and out and dodging these protesters. And instead, this evening, he's at Blenheim Palace, and tomorrow he's at the Prime Minister's country residence, Chequers, the equivalent of Camp David. And then he's at Windsor Castle meeting the Queen. And then over the weekend playing golf, we assume certainly spending most of his time in Scotland. And it'll be interesting to see whether a Scottish golf course becomes the main target for protests, because I suspect it's probably the hardest to secure.
David, excellent stuff. I appreciate your time. We'll reach out again.
Thank you.
David Smith, journalist for The Guardian on the president's visit. We're going to come back. We're going to have a fairly short segment, but I'd love to take some texts here. What's your view now on the president and this anger? Is it just that right now that it's the liberal side of the UK is stepping forward and that it's unavoidable? Or is it rather staggering that our closest ally and our president appears and they're basically moving him out of the countryside to avoid the mass protests? I saw Major Garrett, our guy, saying that Americans are encouraged to, in many ways, downplay that they are Americans if they're near the protest because they're worried about what could happen to them. We're not talking about a protest with one of our rivals, some that we're setting up sanctions against. This is England and the United States. Are you all for it because you believe in Trump's policies? Or could you believe in Trump's policies and say, it's still bizarre that we've reached this level? Text away, 81807 is 26 past one. Reacting to our David Smith interview, it's too sad that the president is a disgrace to the United States. As a patriotic American, it breaks my heart that we were represented by this buffoon. Tell them we haven't cared about Britain's opinion in 242 years. It's all about Trump's mouth. I mean, I would think the president would have a number of allies with some of the folks with Brexit, where some of the leaders he clearly has identified with. And it's not to say that this is 100% of the country against. But the levels the president goes to attack our allies is staggering. And the tippy-toeing towards Putin is every bit as staggering. That's why I was just mesmerizing the other day, because the pipeline issue with Russia and Germany and Russia is a very fair point, 100%. But of all the people to be lecturing somebody about being beholden to Russia and not standing up, it's amazing. Yes, there have been some sanctions later, much later than they should have been in play. But again, the president said, well, about Russia's involvement, which is without a doubt there, without a doubt, favored him. Now, there is no proof yet that there was coordination within the administration. That is 100% should be stated. But when the president is and his administration keep saying, all we can do is ask Vladimir Putin and accept what he says, again, just take that in. If that was Hillary Clinton or Hillary Clinton's Secretary of State saying, hey, I asked Vladimir Putin, I took what he said, there's nothing else going to do. People's heads would be exploding if she'd say that. David Martinez, St. Paul City Council candidate, in a rather combative interview that we taped before the show on what's happened to him the last few days, why he's had so many confrontations, and what it will do to his potential opportunity to become a city council member. That interview is coming up in about 3 minutes. Welcome back, everybody, in this Thursday afternoon. Chad Hartman here with you on WCCO. We don't spend a lot of time talking about city council races in many of the cities in the state, but a story has emerged the last couple days that I thought drew some attention. Let me just read the first graph from Frederick Mello's story, and then we'll bring on David Martinez, and he can tell his side. A day after being banned from the St. Paul Public Library system, St. Paul City Council candidate David Martinez was ejected from Target Field and banned from the ballpark for a year following a physical confrontation with security. David, I appreciate you coming on and answering questions. Why have these two incidents, matters, happened to you in such a short period of time? And what effect, if any, do you think they'll have on your race?
So I haven't been able to determine why these things have happened. I've had much time to kind of reflect. I spent the entire weekend just thinking about it. You know, everything from, you know, it's a higher power, it's just supposed to happen this way, crazy thoughts like it's a conspiracy, it's my behavior, all of the negative kind of assaults and all the derogatory messaging targeted at me and people wishing I was gone and go back to your country and this is America and yada, 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 right? So when you've got all of these things coming at you, I think it alters your mind or your state of being, right? So you have a tendency to maybe not react in a way that is you, right? So it could be a whole host of things, but I haven't been able to, you know, pinpoint this is why these two things happened. The closest I've gotten to coming up with an answer is this. I am now a political, like, figure. People have been coming after me for the past month since I announced I was running for the city council seat. And just a combination of things. I'm wearing my campaign shirt. I'm saying my candidacy and my campaign platform is all about equity and justice and closing all the gaps that exist here in the Twin Cities. So whenever I see something that doesn't look right, I'm going to say something. Right?
So let me just jump in, because there's no doubt we're in a highly polarized community. And tragically, we still are in an area, and we're seeing stories day by day, where individuals, people of color, are being targeted. So those are unavoidable. But let me ask you this. What is your proof that the incident at the library and the incident at Target Field were because of those events, as opposed to your perceived defiance of what authorities were asking you to do?
That's a great question. And I love it, because in Minnesota, we can't talk about race because people get offended. Emotions get hurt. And then we have a lot of people like the folks over at KQRS. Did you listen to their little show this morning? How none of those guys know who I am, and they're all talking like they know who I am. They call me a millennial. I'm not a millennial. They say I'm not a minority because I'm white. I am a minority. So all those guys over there at KQRS are a bunch of ignorant folk who...
Now, wait a second. You're saying they don't know you, and now you're calling them ignorant when you don't know them. Aren't you doing the exact same thing?
You know what? I've been listening to KQ for years, probably a decade. And they never give the person of color a fair shake. So I know them better than they know me. They're on the air every single day. And all you got to do is listen. And they did it again this morning with my story.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and end up defending another radio station. I will say KQ in the Morning has been on for 30-some years.
Hold on, let me finish, David. Chad,
David, you got to let me talk.
People love that stuff, so they eat it up. So these guys can be on the radio talking all that nonsense, and people tune in.
Okay,
so
I'm not going to, David. Hold on a second here, David. David, I'm going to give you one more chance, and you got to let me talk here, or else we're just going to cut this
interview
off.
Whenever you want, you're interviewing me, so you listen.
No, David, otherwise, this is not how it's going to go. I didn't have you on.
Then the conversation's over, Chad.
David,
you called me for an interview, and
right.
Now you're trying to tell me to be quiet.
No, I'm trying to ask you a. I'm trying to ask you a question.
End the conversation, Chad.
David.
You called me for an interview.
Not a filibuster.
Sit there and listen.
No, that's no.
Ask the question and listen.
Then you need to let me ask a question. I didn't have you on here to debate KQRS. I answer.
How to say and this and that. You ask the question and then you listen to my response.
And what was my question?
The interview's over, Chad.
David,
the interview's over.
Isn't this the temper that you showed in these two last incidents?
You know why? You know why? Because we live in a highly polarized community. You just said that.
I don't deny that.
And the conversation you and I are having is exactly because of the culture and the society that we live in. You're defending KQ.
I was explaining
clearly,
KQ. I'm not having you on the show to defend another radio station. To be honest, most people would say, we're not going to talk about the station. I was just making one point. I want to get back to you, okay? You can have your debate with Tom Bernard and the folks elsewhere. You can do that. You can call them, but you're on CCO right now. But when people hear you, and some people might think I was jumping in too much. Some people might think you're jumping in too much. But I think some people are going to hear this and say, David, you're just trying to run through me, just like you were what you were doing at the library, just like what you're doing in the game. And if you had a chance to look at what happened to you at the library or what happened to you at the ball game, would you do the same thing both times?
So, okay. Here we go. Let's take the library incident first, okay? Have you or has anybody gone to the people at the library and said or asked, tell us about this little black boy that David was defending? Who is he? Where is he? Can we get a statement from him? And does the library have like a record of what exactly this gentleman did to get him kicked out? Has anybody asked those questions?
I'm sure others have, but I'm having you on to ask you because to
right.
me, you're the bigger story. And I acknowledge that there's pathetic racism that goes on. Whether it was in this case,
yeah.
I don't know. But you are now a candidate to be on the St. Paul City Council, and I'm asking you if you had a chance to handle these situations again, would you do it the same way?
Yeah, so when I talked to Fox 9, they interviewed me a couple days ago. They asked me the same question. And what I told the reporter was, yeah, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, absolutely. This is what I would have done differently. And I told Fox 9 this. I said, knowing what I know now, knowing that somebody can fill out a form and arrest me, it's like the city of St. Paul's citizens arrest form, or maybe it's a statewide form, I don't know. And knowing that asking questions is like basically a crime, because that's all I did. I walked into the library. I saw a rent-a-cop escorting like a 13, 14-year-old African-American boy who was adamantly like defending himself, saying, I'm here for research. I'm here for research. Look at my paperwork, right? So I just stop and I look at both of them and I go, hey, what's going on here, right? So I start asking questions and nobody's giving me answers. The little black boy, he's saying, she's kicking me out because she's saying that I'm vandalizing library, like, equipment or whatnot. So I turn to the woman, and I say, what did he vandalize? And she says to me, move along, sir. This has nothing to do with you. So here's how we can settle all of this. Stop, like, interviewing me. Find that boy. Go to Catherine Pinkert, who's, like, the director of the St. Paul Libraries, and say, Catherine, what did this boy do? Why were you kicking him out? If they're kicking somebody out, they must have a record of it, right? Somebody yesterday told me Joe Suture is going to go dig all this up. This is red meat for Joe. Yeah, because Joe, let's not talk about Joe, right? I got some thoughts about Joe. But so what Joe's going to find out and what you guys are going to find out is that when you look at the record, it's going to be like bogus. It's going to be, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be.
Okay, I got to jump in here just because we're up against the clock, okay? I want to ask you about your words. Both at the library incident, you said to a person in authority, if you touch me, I'll take you out. Then at Target Field, according to the reports, okay, you're a bleeping moron, you're a bleeping idiot, don't touch me, you're about to get smacked. Is that how a potential city councilman should handle incidents that may have been handled wrong? You may be 100% right. But is that the words and the actions that you should have taken?
Well, listen, I'm not a city councilman right now. I am.
So is that how an everyday citizen should handle it? That when they're having some encounter with a, should threaten to violently confront?
Yeah, Chad, okay. Let me tell you what I've told other people. There were three possible, like, options or avenues I could have taken in both of these situations. Option one, say, yes, sir, whatever you say, sir, goodbye, I'm sorry, I'm leaving, right? Walk by the little black boy at the library and mind my own business, which is what 95% of Minnesotans do when they see situations like this, right? So I'm a candidate, I'm an individual, I'm a private citizen, I'm a taxpayer, I'm a homeowner who's lived in St. Paul for over 30 years, who has seen and been the subject of a lot of injustice. And I'm basically saying, look, I'm almost 40 years old, I'm done. I'm done turning my head, I'm done ignoring the issues like everybody else does. I'm done studying the issues, which is the only thing Minnesotans know how to do, is study the issues. But nobody stands up, or very few people do. The only people that stand up the way I do, Nikema Levy Pounds, the NAACP, people who, like, live this stuff, right? Chad, I don't know if you've ever lived any of this, which is why, and I don't blame you or anybody else. How can you possibly comprehend or understand when you haven't lived this reality? So I don't hold it against you or anybody else. It's like somebody asking me, hey, Dave, you know, tell me about Norwegian culture. I don't know. I haven't lived it, man. So we are taking this issue and just, like, putting more fire on it when we don't have to.
Here's the last thing, and I got to ask this, and we got 45 seconds. You're saying putting more fire on it when I'm all for protest. I'm all for standing up. The authority is not right all the time. Absolutely not. You're threatening violence on these individuals, and you're telling me people are trying to put fire on it? Weren't you doing the same?
Right. Let's go back. Okay, so the three avenues I could have taken were, one, turn an eye.
I heard that.
Two,
I heard that. I'm asking you the specific. Didn't you add fire to it?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, so the avenue I took was the middle option. The third option would have been me, like, physically doing something to somebody, right?
Which you threatened to do.
The decision I decided to take was, I'm going to raise my voice. I'm going to make a point here so people actually listen. Listen, if I would have said it the Minnesota way, this issue, these issues would be getting no coverage. But since I yelled and since I called people racist, now we're talking about it. Now we're having a conversation.
So you're happy. You're happy that it happened.
Let's see how long we can continue the conversation and actually come up with some solutions.
Got it.
Now let's, you know, or let's just like tarnish David's reputation, push him along.
I just gave David
maintain the status quo.
David, I just gave you, hold on a second. I just gave you
status quo maintain.
No, you have no idea. That's not what I said.
Thank you for the interview, Chad. Have a nice day, Chad. Goodbye.
There goes David Martinez, who we've interviewed. You want to react to this conversation? You absolutely can. 651-989-9226 or text away 81807. It's 1:57. That is your Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to call Lindus for free home improvement estimates on windows, insulation, and LeafGuard brand gutters. Okay, we got 20 seconds. Then we're going to the news. Right at 2:03, I'm going to start taking phone calls and texts reacting to what David Martinez had to say. You may love him. You may respect him. You may think he's right on. You might totally disagree. He certainly gave us material. He's been a part of a story that normally wouldn't draw a lot of attention, but he's drawn plenty of attention from a lot of outlets. We'll react in about 4 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.